Well, good morning. It's 7:26. Yes, 7:26 on October 22nd, a Monday morning, 2012. I'm home. I got back late afternoon yesterday from Mile High Con in Denver. It was a great deal of fun. It was particularly more fun this year because I knew a lot more of the authors. Two of the authors that I was at the workshop with in Oregon last March were there. I got to catch up with them, and got to meet Sherry Priest. Sherry Priest is a very nice lady. And got to sit on another panel with Connie Willis, who's also a very nice lady. I re-met a man named John Stith, S-T-I-T-H. Very nice guy. And he was on one of the panels with me, and I was really impressed with his outlook, his viewpoints about writing and storytelling. So I've gone and grabbed a sample. If I like it, I'll let you know. Ran into my friend David Dworkin from last year. David's doing a lot more work this year. Okay, 17 minutes, 19 seconds. I'm on a deadline today. I've got to get back because I've got an appointment at 8. So I need to get back and have time to drive to my appointment. So the posting of this will be a little bit delayed, but I will at least have it recorded and it'll be uploaded by the time I get back. So there's that. Panels I was on. I did two podcasting panels that were interesting. I did Podcasting 101, and I'm really surprised at how many people really do not like the advice, don't record on your computer. I know a lot of people do it, but boy, you know, that is the number one cause of bad audio files. Of course, the other side of it is that when you're recording a audio book, you really do need to have a higher quality audio than, for example, this podcast has. There were some interesting points about consistency, which I thought were valid. And so it was fun. It was a good time. Then we did the what will become a podcast on SF Signal. Patrick Hester recorded us for a four-head panel. That was the Connie Willis, Sherry Priest, John Stith, and I on the current state of storytelling, among other things. It was a great deal of fun. Then yesterday we did a NaNoWriMo panel. It was interesting that of the panelists, a couple of us have finished. A couple of us have tried and failed. And the audience was very, very interested in both the successful and the failures. And there were many suggestions about things you can do, the most important of which was sit and write. Yeah, that was sort of like a given. Many of the same kinds of advice I hear on other panels, like write or die, and the website that lets you know that you have to write or die. I attended some interesting panels too. Ed Bryant, Rebecca Bates, Paolo Bacigalupi, James Van Pelt and Karen Schaefer. I think it was Karen Schaefer. I apologize to her if that's not her name. It seems like that was her name. How science fiction has changed over the last 50 years. An interesting part to me was that the cutoff point was 1962. And so Ed Bryant was quite the resource there, because he's been writing since 1962 or thereabouts. I think probably not quite that long, but he certainly started. And Jim Van Pelt also mentioned that really we have to look at 60 years to go back to where in 1952, which was the year I was born, where science fiction was then regarding topics, ideas, storytelling, and then what happened within 10 years with the so-called New Wave, the next generation after Asimov, after Clark, and how things shifted with them. And one of the interesting quotes that Jim Van Pelt posted or gave us to close was that one that Asimov had done about when the frothy new wave recedes, the broad and solid shore of science fiction will be revealed once again. He made some interesting points, Van Pelt, about how there is a split, a bifurcation in science fiction, and that there's the science fiction for the newcomer, which was largely all there was in the 50s and to a certain extent in the 60s, where ideas like time travel and faster-than-light spaceships and telepathy and some of those other long-time tropes, the alien, the explanation, the explication of those constructs is a part of the early days, because nobody really understood what science fiction was, so every trope had to be explained. Compared to now, where most people, science fiction fans in particular, if you say FTL, most science fiction fans will recognize that as faster than light. Well, except that there's always a new generation of people, and whether they're 13 or 33 or 53, when they discover science fiction, introducing them to those ideas is part of what needs to be required. And Van Pelt supposed that one of the reasons that modern new readers have such trouble is that they find authors who are not in that we need to introduce the trope. They're part of the in crowd already and assume that their readers are fluent in science fiction ideas. I mean, in the beginning, the idea of space travel was sort of theoretical, sort of, well, I don't know really what's out there, so we'll make stuff up. And now, people are out there. The idea of a spaceship is no longer science fiction, it could be current. The idea of being in orbit is not necessarily the realm of science fiction as much as the realm of science. The only time it becomes science fiction is if you're in orbit around another planet. And even that's going to change because we have satellites around other planets now. So how does that change our perspective? How does that change the worldview, the zeitgeist of science fiction? It was a fascinating panel. Baccio Galuppi was quite erudite. He's a very, very good guy, very deep thinker. And Van Pelt and Bryant were both very much in the thinking about storytelling. I learned that Ed Bryant actually started the Northern Colorado Writers' Workshop, which has turned out some really interesting people, like Dan Simmons, Connie Willis, some others that you'd probably recognize. And it occurs to me that, this might be something I want to join. The other side of it is, it's really a critique group, and I don't think I really need to or really want to. They also, it's invitation only, and you have to be a professional or, quote, near professional, unquote, author, which means apparently you're getting personalized rejection lists, rejection notices from publishers. So, no. I'm not even pursuing publishers, so I guess that makes me not a professional. Which is okay, because I'd much rather make a living at it than have the title. So, yeah. In addition to all that, I did manage to get a fair amount of work done. I got South Coast halfway through the first pass edit, which is huge. Finding a lot of extraneous dialogue tags, finding a lot of odd kinds of constructs that I need to patch, fix, undo in some cases. So it was a very productive it was basically, I left Friday afternoon, returned Sunday afternoon, so 48 hours more or less. But it was really, 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 really good 48 hours. Break up my rut, break up my routine, get my battery recharged a little bit. The business cards that I was so anxious to get, I probably could have done with 10 instead of 100, but yeah, I have a few now. I'm having a devil of a time getting the cover for the paperback version of Ravenwood updated. CreateSpace keeps telling me that the font, that the spine text is too wide. And I shrunk it twice and resubmitted it, and I cannot for the life of me figure out where they're coming up with it's being too wide. Unless they're trimming it and not shrinking it the way they say they're going to. So if that's the case, then what I've got to do is I may have to trim myself to their specification and then see how that, see if that works better. But it's such a pain in the butt, in part because they, I tried shrinking it so that it would exactly match, and then when I did, the dots per inch were off by 4, and they rejected it as a low-quality image because it was less than 300 dpi. It was 296. It's like, So I think what I've got to do is resample it at like 400 dots per inch, shrink it, and then upload it, or trim it and upload it. If I trim it, it probably would work. But it's quite tedious, because it takes a long time to do the upload, and then it takes them 24 to 48 hours to review the file. In the meantime, I think the book is probably absent from CreateSpace. Not that it's a big deal, because it hasn't been selling many. But, yeah. Irksome. And I'm having trouble with the trading card people, too. I haven't heard back from them. I've written to them. The back file that I sent them for the trading card was wrong. And as a result, I had to upload. They said only upload the file that was incorrect, so I uploaded the file that was incorrect. And now the orientation between the front and the back is wrong. so the back is tumbled and not upright. So you can't turn the card over horizontally, you have to turn the card over vertically in order to read the text properly, which was not how it was supposed to be. And irks me somewhat that I follow their directions and now I either have to refuse the proof and upload again. If I refuse the proof, I have to pay $5 for another proof. I'm already into them for $5 for the proof I disapproved earlier. But I wrote the customer service people and said, is there something I can do here that, you know, this isn't lining up right. I followed your instructions, but now it's out of order. Can it be fixed on your end, or do I have to pay you another $5? On the grand scheme of things, it's worth it to pay the extra $5 and upload both files. Than to pay $20 and have 100 cards that are wrong. And it's certainly something that I am going to pay a lot closer attention to for the future cards. Beautiful, gorgeous morning. Ah, it's cold, 38 degrees, so it's quite chilly, but it's gorgeous here. There's a little bit of fog above the ponds down the water catchment basin on the end of the park. The sun is just peeking up over the horizon now. When I took the picture earlier, it was still quite dark. So, gorgeous, lovely, beautiful morning. And the trees have started losing leaves. I noticed in the picture that one of the trees that I regularly take a picture of has been largely denuded over the last 3 days. But what a beautiful morning. Today I have to try to get Quarter Share published in ebook and paper. Getting that set up will be something of a challenge, but I think I'm up for it. I also want to redo Ravenwood's ebook now that I know what some of the problems are with the ebook formatting that I did myself. I also want to add a link to the Amazon version anyway of Zephyrus Call. So if you get to the end of the book, you can click that link and go to the Amazon page for Zephyrus Call. And with that, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and I will talk to you then.